Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Great. You ready to stay here for another hour? All righty, cool. I'm not saying I'm going to preach that, but hey, we'll see what we can do. If you would, please turn with me your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. We're going to be continuing on from where we stopped last week, and we'll, in a few moments we'll be reading from 19 to 30. So just kind of remember, what is the topic for the year? Seeking, okay, and others also, ourselves seeking and helping others to seek as well. And we've been in the last few weeks, we've been in what book? Daniel. And what have we talked about so far? All right, we talk about the, we'll get talking about the fire furnace today, yep. Well, what's that? Dreams, okay. What else? Standing alone, okay, yep. And so that we're going to continue on today with your miracle is in the fire. Okay, that's what we're talking about. So last week, as we began to look at Daniel 3, and we looked at, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, started to, and old Nebi had that golden image. Remember, he had that dream about the about an image that represented the different nations. And then he decides to take and build an image made of gold all about himself. Okay, people were to do what? They're supposed to bow down and worship it. When the trumpets blew and all the other instruments, you know, all made the noise or made the music, everybody was to bow down, and that was to symbolize people bowing down and worshiping old Nebi. Of course, we know Shadrach from looking at last week, and probably from, we've probably have heard this story ever since we were little kids. It seems like that's the story that we concentrate most, well, not maybe most. We use that story, we talk about that story a lot with the young kids. But when was the last time that you've actually heard a sermon besides this last week and today, okay, directed at adults? We use it, I mean, I can remember my grandmother telling me, well, both my grandmothers telling me Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego whenever I'd stay overnight. I'd ask for that story. And Daniel in the lion's den. And then one of the other ones, of course, was Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Okay? Different book, but, you know, still, you know, three stories a night I got, so that's what we got. My other grandmother was pretty much the same thing. And I can remember as a child, VBS, Sunday school, hearing over and over about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den. But to be honest with you, I never, as an adult, I didn't hear it too much directed at adults. And it kind of, for a long time, kind of seemed to me, okay, is this story directed at kids? Because that seems like where we centered on it, at least, you know, where I grew up anyway. But when we take time to really look at it, we're going to see on how much it is directed at youth, at children, and especially to us as adults. And I said, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the image. We also talked about that they even refused to even pretend. You know, we said, okay, they could have maybe just dropped down a little bit and just gotten it over with. They wouldn't have actually worshipped, but then that would have done what? It would have given the image that they had bowed down. It would have given the impression that they worshipped old Nebi through this image. And we said that how sometimes in our own lives we do things or whatever that give off the wrong impression of who we truly are as Christians. Sometimes we don't mean to. Most time we don't mean to. Sometimes we just do some different things that, well, they're goofy or whatever, or however you want to put that. But sometimes we mess up. We talked about those who truly seek God refuse to go with the worldly flow. They refuse to go with the worldly flow. But we have to understand this isn't just out in public, you know, like when we're at Walmart, you know, and watching our language when something isn't on sale that we thought was supposed to be on sale that week. Or, you know, when something goes wrong with the car or whatever. It's also about when we're home. What our life is like at home. Because I can guarantee you that if we're not living what we're trying to live in public, at home, privately, it will eventually seep out into the public image of ourselves and what we're doing out in public. If we get some type of secret at home, and we're thinking, okay, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but as long as I'm just doing it at home, I'm not hurting somebody else. Who's ever done something like this? Let's be honest. As long as it's at home, it's, I know I really shouldn't be doing it, but you know what? But if we keep on repeating it at home, it's eventually going to live out in our lives no matter where we're at. How many times have we at home said, well, I know there's a certain word I shouldn't say, you know, whatever you, I'm not saying you got to think of a word, but I shouldn't say this word, shouldn't say, you know, use cuss words. And then we're out in public one day and we stub our toe or whatever, the wife runs into your ankle with the shopping cart, whatever, and you just, boop, and it comes out. You see what I'm saying? How we try to live it at home, in private, is going to affect what we're doing in public. And we get the idea here, or we understand that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took this seriously. The fact that they wouldn't bow down in public, meant that they were not bowing down in private. They were living for God in their private life. And sometimes even devoted Christians get mixed up in some different things, and we got to repent of those things. But in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see their devotion and their belief in God. And we'll worship him no matter what it means. No matter what it means as far as the punishment that they may receive in this story or whatever. We looked at the attitude of those who are seeking to please God. The attitude of those who are seeking to please God. And we said one thing, that they did not need to defend their actions to prove their faith in God. You know, old Nebi comes up and said, you need to bow down and everything. And he threatens them again. He gives them the chance to go ahead and bow down. And what did the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? They said, we don't need to defend ourselves to you. If God wants to save us from the fiery furnace, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, he is able to do that. But if he chooses not to, we will still worship him. They didn't defend themselves, said, well, we've been through this with God, we've been through that and everything. They just simply said, we're going to worship God. That's it, Nebi. That's just the way we're going to do it. So they did not need to defend their actions to prove their faith in God. And they did not need a miracle to have faith in God. Remember, they hadn't done a, God hadn't done a miracle as far as the fiery furnace or anything yet. And they were already determined that they were going to worship God no matter what. So if you would, please stand with me as we go into verses 19 through 30 of Daniel chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage. And the expression, by the way, I'm reading from the Christian Standard, sorry. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage. And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary. And he commanded some of the best soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So these men in their trousers, robes, head coverings, and other clothes were tied up, thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Since the king's command was so urgent and the furnace extremely hot, the raging flames killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. He said to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire?" "Yes, of course, your majesty," they replied to the king. He exclaimed, "Look, I see 4 men, not tied, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace, blazing fire, and called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "You servants of the Most High God, come out." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I said last week, if you don't know their names, you're not going to, you haven't by now, came out of the fire when the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered around. They saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair of their heads were singed. Their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants and trusted in him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I issue a decree that anyone of any people, nation, or language who says anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and his house made a garbage dump. For there is no other God who is able to deliver like this." Then the king rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing of being here today to look into more of your word, to sing praises to you, to give you our worship. And Lord, at this time, we just ask you to open up our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the message that you have for us today. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So let me begin by asking you a question. What is a promise? Feel free to answer. This is that communication back and forth time. What is a promise? Grandma Jean, what's a promise? Okay, so if I tell you that I'm going to give you a donut, and I promise to do that, I better do that, right? You should see her face. Yep, you better believe it right now. Yep. But if I don't keep that promise, what does that make me look like? A promise breaker instead of a promise keeper. Now, in this story, before we get into the lessons that we have for today, did it say anything that God had promised to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in any way, shape, or form? Okay, let's get that straight. Okay? Had God promised that he would be with them? Okay? Is there a difference? We're going to see that. I just want you to get your mind stirring here and everything. Life sometimes isn't exactly ideal. And what I mean by that, life doesn't always go our way. Correct? Has anybody had a bad day? Kaylee, had a bad day? Have you ever had a bad week? Ever had a bad month? Ever had a bad year? Okay? Things happen in life. Somebody close to us gets sick and passes. We're not going to do that. We get sick and we can't do the things we used to do. Don and I were talking a little bit ago, and Don, I'm not trying to pick on you or anything, but I'm going to pick on you today. We were talking about things that, you know, used to do, and he was talking about lifting transmissions out of cars and everything, and he made the comment about when we were talking that sometimes he wishes that he was 20 years or 30, well, in his case, 50 years younger now, but about being 40, okay, we'll go with 40, about lifting things and everything, what we used to be able to do. Life happens, okay? Whether we... Sorry, life is a blessing. We have those times of blessing, but let's face it, there are times where life is difficult. And many times when those things happen, what is our prayer? Now, don't answer that. What is our prayer? Often we pray for what? Deliverance. But before it gets any tougher, before it even happens, God, take this away. Is that wrong? No. But should we be prepared for the answer to be different? And that's what we're talking about today. In the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're going to look at 5 points here to help us in those times that we face trials. And to remember that our victory is actually sometimes in the fire, in the trial itself. The first thing we're going to say is this. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were persuaded. They were persuaded. Abraham, now if you go back to Genesis, the story of Abraham, Abraham believed the promise that God had given him, that one day he was going to have many descendants, he was going to be the father of a nation, of nations actually. And Abraham, although he had some questions sometimes about how God was going to pull this off, because God didn't tell him all the details, he just said, I'm going to make you of a great nation, I'm going to give you lots of descendants. He didn't say, some of it you're going to mess up, my plan, is some of it I'm still going to correct that situation. He didn't give him all the details how it was going to happen. He just simply said, I'm going to make it happen. And Abraham believed. In Romans 4:20-21, we read this, talking about Abraham. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to do. That he was able to do. When you read this story that we've been looking at, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one thing is apparent. One thing is clear. They were persuaded. They were convinced that nothing could come between them and their God. They were not going to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, his threats, to there no consequence, no punishment. They could have, you know, said, you know what? If we just bow down this one time, we're not going to get thrown in the furnace or anything like that. But they were convinced, they were persuaded that no matter what, God was with them. Excuse me. They were fully persuaded to the promises of God in their obedience. Mercy Me, everybody knows pretty much Mercy Me, the song group. We sing a couple of their songs once in a while. Mercy Me has a song out that written by Bart Millard and called Even If. Okay? That song was written when Bart and his wife found out that one of their children had childhood diabetes. Okay? And naturally, that was like a stab in the heart to Bart and his family and everything when his child came. And they prayed that, you know, for deliverance and everything. And Bart got to thinking about, you know what? God hasn't promised to take anything, the illnesses away from us. But he has promised to walk with us. And he said, and in that song it says, even if you don't take the trial away, I'm paraphrasing the song, even if you don't take the trial away, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to believe in you. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was doing. You know, God has not promised prosperity necessarily the way we, in our worldly way, look at prosperity. But he has promised to bless us when we stay with him. If life has pushed us too far, it's time to rise up with the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. An attitude where you are fully persuaded. God can rescue me from cancer, but if he doesn't, I still will not bow down to anything but him. God can restore my health or a relationship, but if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow down to anything but him. God can bless me in many different ways, maybe sometimes the way I want, but if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow down to anything else but him. See, that's the persuasion we need. That's the persuasion of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That even when they were facing this trial, getting ready to go into the furnace, they still said, no. I am persuaded that I will not bow this Shadrach, Meshach, persuaded that I will not bow down to anything else, no matter what the cost. And sometimes that cost is dear. But they were still persuaded. The one thing that we have to understand in life, the pressure will come. Those bad days, those bad times will come, even as believers in Christ. Does the Bible ever tell us that when we accept Christ as Savior, that we'll never have this bad day again? No. Matter of fact, if you look back at the early Christians, there are many Christians today around the world that because of their faith in Christ, they're being martyred, they're being killed, they're being persecuted. And yet in those nations where the persecution is taking place, Christianity is actually growing faster than what it is in our own nation right now. And I'm talking about places like Iran and just a bunch of different places. You might expect a fully persuaded attitude would cause a breakthrough sometimes. You know, well, I got this persuasion, God's just going to bless me and I'm never going to have a hard time again. And actually, I've seen, I've heard pastors say this, that as soon as you come to Christ, everything's just going to be hunky-dory. Okay? He will bless us, and sometimes he may take some different things away from us, some different trials. But when Nebuchadnezzar heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's words of defiance, what did he do? They were going to get thrown into the furnace, but then he does something to kind of heat it up. Okay, exactly. Okay, exactly. He heats the furnace up. Now, I don't care if it's 1,000 degrees or 1,500 degrees, it's going to have the same effect. But the point was this, Nebuchadnezzar was so mad, he's going to prove his point. Okay? That you're not going to get away with not bowing down to who I tell you to do or what I tell you to do. Sometimes things in our life heat up. We go through battles. We go through different things, whatever it may be that we talked about. Sometimes we took a stand for Christ. Sometimes we took a stand for our belief in God. And the trial ended up getting worse. People at work mocked us a little bit more. Our families mocked us a little bit more. I've known families or people that they've accepted Christ and their family totally turned away from them. I've read stories about when different people accepted Christ, especially ladies, and how their family did horrible things to those young ladies. But yet their strength or their devotion to Christ remain true. Don't despair. In the time of the trial, don't despair, because when the devil turns up the heat, God does too. God's going to increase his power among us. I'm not saying he's going to deliver us from it, but he's going to increase his power for us to withstand it. One of the things that many missionaries are praying right now, or have been for several years, and people that are going through the martyrdom and the persecution in different countries, and Pastor, you can probably know this as well, that they're not asking for deliverance from these things. They're asking the God to give them the blessing, the power to withstand them, because what they're going through, people are seeing, and they're saying, there must be something to this belief that they have in Christ. Not just a religion, but the relationship that they have in their God. And we kind of see that take place with old Nebi here a little bit, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they come out of the furnace. And he starts to praise God to a point. He hasn't actually converted over yet, but he starts saying, hey, if anybody talks anything bad about their God, we got to remember how he says that. If anybody talks or puts their God down, they're out of here. They're in trouble. People will see us go through trials. And I truly believe this. God sometimes causes those trials in our life so that we can be a witness. And sometimes we're praying, God, take this away from me. And God says, I don't think so. But I promise to be with you. When it talks there about when Nebuchadnezzar saw a former, which I to this day I still don't get the question that Nebi asked. They knew how many guys they were thrown into the furnace. Okay? I think it was one of those rhetorical ones. I've probably been one of the ones that answered, and Nebi probably saying, duh, I know this, but I'm trying to make a point. But he sees the four people in there, the four guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who's the fourth? God. It's Christ. His pre-incarnate Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ is with them. They come out. How many burns are on their clothes? How many clairvoyants are on their fingertips? What do they smell like? I don't know what they smell like. They don't smell like fire. Okay? I've been through, you know, a lot of different fires. I was on two different fire departments, and I can tell you that even when I didn't go inside the building, you still walked away from the fire smelling like smoke. There was one time we were at a hog confinement fire. I got a little bit more than just the smoke. Okay? Yeah, you get what I'm saying. When you fall into it, you can't help it. But you see what I'm saying? They were inside this thing, and they were in the flames. They were in the flames. I truly believe this, that just because they weren't burnt doesn't mean that they didn't feel the heat. I think sometimes we look at what they just... Because when you're in a trial, you feel the heat. You feel what you're going through. But oftentimes we come out not being scathed at all, or not near as scathed as what we thought we were going to be, because God was there with us the whole time. Sometimes we look back at trials, you know what? That really wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be. Lori has to remind me of that every once in a while when something comes up and I start to freak out or whatever. She goes, remember what you preach. Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay? We have the promise in the fire. We have the promise in the fire. Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2 says this, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And these are words that we can live by. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. God sometimes isn't going to save us from the fire. He will bring us through it. Now, I want to say something here. That doesn't mean that coming through the fire necessarily means that on this side of eternity that we made it, as far as maybe a person not dying when they're sick. Too many people, I think, have tried to turn this subject into saying, okay, God is going to heal somebody every time if they just do certain things. And that's not true. Because we all do what unless the Lord returns first? We're all going to do what? We're all going to die. There's just no other way to put it. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I don't mean it like that at all. But sometimes God says, you know what? I'm going to bring you through a different way than what you're praying for. There was a gentleman from the church that I grew up in. His name was Joey. Joe came down with a blood disease. He had a blood disease. Fought it for a couple of years. We prayed and prayed. We laid hands on him. Now, for 2 years, you know, Joey was going through, you know, this trial and everything. But Joey died at 55 years old. Was Joey relieved of his turmoil? Yes. He was a saved, he was born again. Joe and I were close. And that's how I got to look at it sometimes. Now, when we pray for deliverance, God works in different ways. When we pray for somebody, God works in different ways sometimes. You expected the miracle outside the fire. You thought God would save you before things went that far. But sometimes for you, the miracle is in the fire. And the miracle necessarily isn't the way he brought us through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, not being scathed. Is that the miracle? I don't think so. I think the miracle was who was in there with them. Now, coming out of the fire, not being burnt, is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But the miracle was that God kept his promise with them. And not that it's some extraordinary thing that we didn't expect, but the fact that God comes to us. How many religions teach that? No, it's also all of us about us trying to reach. There are so many religions about how you try to reach what you believe in, how you try to do this. Who came to us when we celebrated just a couple months ago at Christmas? Christ. That's the true blessing. That's the trueness of the miracle, that Christ came to them. Like I said, sure, not getting burnt, that was a good thing. That's part of the miracle, but the miracle, for me, when I see this, is definitely part of it, is the fact that Christ came to them where they were. He didn't say, you go through the fire, and then I'll come to you. And he goes, no, I'll come to you, and you will go through the fire. Sometimes we go through it different. I get it, or whatever the trial may be. But he has promised to be there with us. We have protection in the fire. When Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, those bindings, you don't hear, they're loosened. They're gone. Whether they just fell off, or if they ropes and they burned off, or whatever, the fact is that they're just walking around in the fire, just having a grand old time. Okay? That's how I truly look at it. Because of the fact they're with who? They're with Jesus. I'm not saying that they necessarily wanted to be thrown into the fire, but I think that once Jesus is there with them, it's a lot easier. I'm not saying they're necessarily dancing around, but I am saying that the fire was definitely different now that Christ was with them. I can see them talking about a lot of different things. You know, we get this idea of in and out. I don't know how long it was. I mean, when you look at the whole story. But the fact is that they're in there having a conversation with Jesus. Now, when you're going through a trial and you get to have a conversation with Jesus, which we have that opportunity every day, sometimes, you know, it seems one-sided to us, but Christ is always there with us, listening to us. We have his word to go to have him remind us on how he's with us each and every single moment of each and every single day of each trial that we go through. Jesus reveals himself in the fire. And when that happens, we need to watch for deeper revelation and worship experiences in our life. You know, when we go through a trial and we realize how Christ brought us through it, we are thankful, I hope. And we see, we look back and say, okay, great, God walked us through that. And then when the next trial comes on, we got to remember what? How he took us through the previous trial. And he's got that same promise. And maybe however he decides to work is to bless us. Whatever the trials are, we got to remember we have protection. And then we have promotion after the fire. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego exited the fire, they received a promotion. They go from the king hating them to the king promoting them. They saw the goodness and favor of God on their lives. The fire, the trial that you have, may be your greatest test. But on the other side, we receive blessings. Sometimes that blessing is getting right into heaven with God, going through that trial. Sometimes it's that blessing is being able to help somebody else through a trial similar to the trial that we've been through. It's always a blessing, though, when we go through the trial and realize that it was Christ there with us who took us through those situations. I was telling you a minute ago about fire. I'm just about ready to wrap it up here, I promise. I was in a fire one time, and it was a small house. We'd gone in, we're making an attack on it. What we didn't realize is that the fire had gotten up in the ceiling above us and actually came back behind us. And trying to get out, our escape route got cut off. So I hollered out on the radio for them to break out the back windows. Because that was our secondary escape. They thought I said backup, which meant a rescue crew was coming in at us. So as we're coming out in a narrow hallway, they're coming in. About that time, everything just went completely black. The smoke and everything just dropped down on top of us. You couldn't see anything. Then you felt the heat. The room flashed over on us up above us. Okay? We got out and everything. But I can tell you that I was praying for God to show us how to get out of there, because we were all confused. Everything got mixed up on us. Okay? And when you start to panic, it just the way it happens. You get confused. So I'm praying, God, do something here. And at that point, when the room lit up, it actually showed our escape route. And we got out. Then we went back in and put the fire out. But sometimes, you know, things get really dark. But God has always promised to be there with us and take us through it. In the fires of life, when they're threatening, take heart. The miracle of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a miracle for us, too. Be fully persuaded. Believe the promise. So when the pressure increases, you receive protection and ultimate promotion. In other words, don't give up. Your miracle is in the fire. Let's pray. Lord, again, we do praise you and thank you for walking with us each and every moment of each and every single day. Whether it's on those good days when we're enjoying the snowstorm or ice storm, or to those moments when we just simply don't know where to turn next. When we're sometimes on that moment with just to give it all up and just say, what's it worth? We thank you that you are there with us. You understand us. And we thank you how you promise to take us through those times. Yeah, it may not be the way that we planned it, or sometimes not even close to the way we want it. But we know that you have the best in store for us. So whether it's a lesson to be learned, a lesson to give to somebody else, or simply just to receive certain blessings from you, help us to remember that our miracle is in the fire, because you are that miracle there with us. We pray this together. Amen.